Anyhow, hey, I have some jokes I'd like to share with you. Really, I do. So I was preparing for the message. I'm not starting my timer yet, so I'm not on the clock yet. I will share a few jokes with you. I wanted to. I felt like they were appropriate to share. Hopefully you'll get as much a kick out of it as I did. Maybe you won't, but I thought they were good. So 2 7-year-old boys were sitting together during a wedding ceremony. As the couple said, "I do," one of the little boys leaned over to the other and asked, "How many wives can a man have?" Well, the second little boy looked at his friend and was like, "Are you crazy?" He goes, "He can have 16 wives." And the little boy says, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, the second little boy said, "Well, weren't you listening? The pastor just said, for better, for worse, for richer, and for poorer." All right, I get a clap from Ken Proctor. That's good. Anyway, I thought it was funny. I don't know I didn't hear any laughs coming from Louisville, but here's another one. Jesus Christ, Moses, and a gray bearded man were playing golf on the first tee. Moses shanked his ball into the lake. He parted the water and hit his ball onto the green. Jesus teed off, hitting his ball into another water hazard, but he walked on water and stroked his ball straight up short of the cup. Then the gray-bearded man stepped up for his tee shot. He hit the ball with tremendous force but hooked it badly. The ball bounced off the clubhouse roof, hit the car path, rolled down a hill into a pond, coming to rest on a lily pad, and a frog hopped over, picked up the ball, then an eagle swooped down, snatched the frog, flew over the green, and the frog dropped the ball and it rolled into the cup for a hole-in-one. Moses turned to Jesus and said, "I really don't like playing golf with your dad." All right, I thought that was a good one too. Got to have a little humor. Last one, I promise. 7-year-old boys were always getting into trouble. Their parents knew if any mischief was reported in town, the twins were probably involved. The mother heard of a pastor in town that had been successful in disciplining children, so she called the pastor and asked if he would speak with her boys. Pastor agreed, but he asked to see them individually. Well, the mother sent one boy in the morning, and the other boy was to see the pastor in the afternoon. The pastor was a huge man with a deep, booming voice. He sat the first boy down and asked him sternly, "Do you know where God is, son?" And the boy made no response, sitting there wide-eyed with his mouth hanging open. So the preacher repeated the question in an even sterner tone. "Where is God?" Again, the boy made no attempt to answer. So the pastor raised his voice even more, shook his finger in the boy's face and bellowed, "Where is God?" The boy screamed and ran directly home and hid in his closet. When his twin brother found him in the closet, he asked, "Well, what happened? What's going on?" And his brother replied, "Well, we're in big trouble this time, man." He said, "God is missing, and I think we did it." Anyhow, got to have a little humor like this. And I thought it was good, so doesn't matter. It doesn't mean if I thought it was good that it was. So I laugh at pretty much anything. Well, today we're actually going to discuss the church, which is actually it's Cogswell's 17th fundamental belief. We're going to look into the subject of the church by answering two questions. First question is this: what is the church and what does it look like? And the second question that we'll answer is this: what does the church look like in action? What does it look like in action? These questions, I believe, hopefully will be informative as we answer them, as we dig in to answer these questions today. So the first question that we're going to look into: what is the church and what does it look like? So let's begin by turning into Scripture, and let's begin in Matthew 16. This is actually the first time, at least in the New Testament, actually the first time in Scripture, and it is in the New Testament, that the term church is mentioned. And we're going to turn to Matthew 16, and we'll read only one verse, verse 18. Actually, I say one verse. Let's just read one verse. Verse 18. This is Jesus talking. And he says this. He says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the grave, or hell, shall not prevail against it." Right here In this particular passage, there are a couple things to take away. And that's how we're going to be able to define what the church is and what it looks like, by looking at these two takeaways. The first takeaway is the word church. As I said, it's the first time in Scripture that this term is used. And in this passage in the Greek word is ekklesia. Many of us have heard that term, correct? Ekklesia. Ekklesia means a calling out. A calling out, a gathering, an assembly. From this, we actually see that the church, an ecclesia, is an assembly of those who have been called out. Called out from what? Well, if you go to John 6:44, we aren't going to turn there, but you can later on. But we're told by Jesus Christ Himself that no one can come to me, and He's talking about Himself, Jesus Christ, unless the Father who sent me draws them. And then he goes on to say, and I'll raise them up at the last day. But no one can come to Jesus Christ unless the Father draws them, unless the Father calls them, opens up their mind. And then in the same chapter, in John 6 and verse 65, he reiterates this. And Jesus Christ says, therefore I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. So the Father draws and it is granted. So the Father is fully involved in those who come to be a part, who are called out to become part of what? The church. The ecclesia. In both of these passages that we just referenced, in John 6:44 and John 6:65, there is a calling. A calling to Jesus Christ by the Father. A calling out of what? This world. A calling out of this world to the Son to do what? To be reconciled back to the Father. To be reconciled back to the Father. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Let's keep building on this. 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So the Father calls us out of this world to Jesus Christ to become, as it says here, a new creation, to put off the old man, that old way of life, and to be reconciled through Jesus Christ to the Father, to become His children, to be partakers of His family. God specifically, He is the one, the Father is the one who calls us to be reconciled through Jesus Christ, to be called out of this